God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. Recently, I was driving home from another state. We had a 434-mile trip, and we stopped for lunch, meaning we went through a drive-through of a fast food chain. And crazy as it may be, the line wrapped all the way around the building. In fact, you had to come in the entrance, go all the way around the building to even get in line, and then there were two of those at this drive-thru. Well, this particular chain has just blown the doors off with service, and they're cheerful and they're quick. I got my food quicker with that long line than I could have gotten at most other restaurants with half the line. I mean, it was just incredible. Now, I don't know if every person making the food and serving the food, if they have some grand vision or not, but somebody does, and they're training their staff very well. I don't know if it's just a carrot and stick thing or if they've caught the vision, but there's someone with a big picture that really gives significance to what everyone is doing. Now, contrast that with most establishments you go to. People may be serving you, but they're only working by the hour. And I'm not talking about their wage. I'm talking about their mindset. Sometimes people work for a large salary, but they're still working by the hour. They're thinking, okay, my time's up. I need to go. Or they get to work 30 minutes early, and that's their vision. And so most people, their work, it's either an hourly affair or it's just some grand vision. They want to do something in life. They have ambitions. Now, I want to ask you a question. How do you view your work? And more specifically, how do you view your service to God? How do you view your ministry? Now, again, some people have a really limited view. Other people have some great ambition. If you're working hourly in your mind, really, I'm not sure I have anything for you today. But if you have a big picture and maybe some ambition, I think there's a word for you in 2 Samuel chapter 7 where David wishes to build God a temple. God had been with Israel in a very special way and manifestly at the tabernacle, basically a tent, a very ornate special tent, but a tent nonetheless. And in verse 2, the Bible says that the king, David, said unto Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains." So I've got this beautiful palace. God has nothing but a tent. Well, Nathan the prophet just assumed, hey, this is a spiritual thing. This is a noble thing. If you want to build the temple, that's a good thing. And sometimes we make assumptions not knowing what God's mind actually is. And so Nathan essentially says, hey, that's a great idea. God be with you. God bless you. Well, God appeared to Nathan and said, Nathan, have I ever asked for a house? I've not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. And he goes on to say, I do not want David to build me a house. That will be done by his son. It turns out to be Solomon. So a couple things here. One, how do you view your work? Well, let me just remind you that you don't build for God. A lot of people have these great ambitions, and God is kind of their foil. They want to be great. They want to have a name. They want to have more than just a marker at their head when they die. They want to have some monument in life to their work, and perhaps God is just a foil. They say, I'm involved in ministry, but the fact is they're building a name as they build some work for God. May I just say there's a sense in which we don't build for God. We don't build for God. God said, no, David, noble ambition, but it's not my idea. God wasn't animating this. Just because something sounds noble or even spiritual does not mean that God is the one animating. God is the one inspiring. And God needs to be the one that animates our work. So if you have some grand view, remember that you don't, strictly speaking, you don't build for God. I'm glad we can serve God, and I think it would be different if you did not. But God, there's a sense in which God does not need us. God loves us. On the other hand, God doesn't build for us. God told Nathan, you tell David, I'm going to build him a house. And he's talking about a dynasty, those that would come after David, the kingly line of David. But David says something very interesting. David says later in response, but who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Later he says in verse, I think, 23, what nation is like your people Israel here? There's no one. So was God using David because David was such a great guy, or Israel because Israel was such a great people? This was not about David. It wasn't even strictly about Israel. It was about God himself. So God was not simply building for David because, David, you're a great guy, I want to reward you. No. We don't build for God. God doesn't build for us. God builds with us. Now, maybe I'm splitting hairs here, but there's a slight, subtle difference, and it does affect the way we think and then the way we work. D.L. Moody, the evangelist, once said something to the effect of, the world has yet to see what God will do through a person wholly given to him. And then he said, I'll be that man. I'll be that person. So God's ambitions are not smaller than your own. They're not inferior to mine or yours, but God builds with us. Now, since that's true, two takeaways I would leave today. All right. First of all, accept what you're given. It may not be what you wish, but if God's given it, accept what you are given. David could have said, why can't I build the temple? That's a noble ambition. Why have my son build it? I want to build it. And yet in chapter 8, the Bible says David smote the Philistines, and he smote Moab, and he smote also other kingdoms. And the Lord preserved David with whithersoever he went, the Bible says. And then the Bible says, and David took the shields of gold, and he brought in exceeding much. And another king brought him vessels of silver and vessels of gold and vessels of brass. And then 2 Samuel 8:11 says, which also King David did dedicate unto the Lord with the silver and gold that he had dedicated of all nations which he subdued. So David was a man of war. He was a giant killer, and he was a defender. And so he may have wished to build the temple, but God had other ideas. No matter how noble the idea David had, it wasn't the one that God had for him. So accept what you are given. This might have been humbling for David, but he accepted what God had given, and he did what God had given him to do, to establish the kingdom. Second of all, I'd say, use what you have. So accept what you're given, use what you have. The Bible says that David used all this in verses 11 and following. David used that for what would become later Solomon's temple. It's funny, we talk about Solomon's temple. Well, it wasn't Solomon's idea. It really wasn't Solomon's temple. He built it, but with what materials? He stood on the shoulders of his father David. Well, was it David's temple? No. Ultimately, it was God's temple. It was God's idea. It was God's ambition. And so God gave David one task, God gave Solomon another, and God was glorified in both. So accept what you're given, use what you have, because we don't build for God. God doesn't build for us. God builds with us.